This week's overseas correspondent is our man in Estonia, Silver Tambur. He's on the line from there now. Kia ora, Silver. Welcome back to Nights.
Good evening, indeed, and tere õhtust in Estonian.
How's it going there? How's the COVID-19 situation? Now, I know it's not in the notes you sent me, but I am curious to know whether Estonia is another one of the European countries now facing the prospect of another wave of the disease and maybe having to lock things back down again this coming northern winter.
Actually, we are not doing too badly. We even haven't imposed any lockdowns at the moment. There are a couple of some curfews, like, for example, bars and restaurants, they need to close at midnight. But that's quite a relaxed rule compared to most other European countries. Perhaps it has helped that we have very, very strict travel rules. So right now, most European countries, if they travel from those countries to Estonia, people would need to to basically self-quarantine for 2 weeks. I think there's just one exception as of today, and that's Norway. All the rest of the Europe, if you come from there, you need to self-isolate, basically.
What about the fellow Baltic states of Latvia and Lithuania?
I think Latvia and Lithuania, I think they have a quite similar situation, but roughly the same. Perhaps it helps that, you know, all those three countries, you know, they're not too overcrowded. So, you know, we don't have sort of overcrowding issues and not massive public transports and stuff. And I think all those three countries, their governments have been kind of keeping a close eye on what's happening. So at the moment, as it stands, our numbers are not too bad.
What does not too bad mean, Silver?
I think its current rate is about 45 per 100,000 or something. Or anyway, it's not like, you know, I think, okay, let's put it this way. In a hospital, we currently have, I think, about 40 people. So, and it's a nation of 1.3 million people. So it's not too bad. And I think only in last month or so, one or two people have died. Obviously, every life is important, but I mean, it's not like massive spike. And we haven't had a shock of you know, losing a very young person to coronavirus. The people who have died are elderly people, about 55, 60 years old.
And apart from everything closing early at midnight, what life is carrying on as before the pandemic in terms of your ability to go out and socialize?
Absolutely. Large events even are still happening, although wearing a mask is advisable and also, you know, keeping a distance. But at the same time, all those events are still happening, most of them. Okay, some of the really, really huge events, like, you know, where you would expect thousands of people to attend, have been cancelled. But, like, you know, events of gatherings of 50 to 100 or maybe a couple of hundred people and some conferences, those kind of events are still happening.
I can't imagine you had those big singing festival, that big singing festival you have in the summertime where you've got a mass choir of 20,000. Given that choirs are possibly a very dangerous, well, at least COVID seems to spread very quickly among people who are singing because we sometimes spray when we sing.
Yeah, that's right. But we didn't have this this year. It happens in every 4 years. So we had it last year, I mean 2019, and not this year, luckily. And the next one is in 2023, I think. And let's hope that by next year, you know, the situation is under control, although there is no guarantee, obviously.
I was interested when I saw your notes because I immediately thought of Poland to your south, and Poland having passed quite draconian abortion laws, which will make it very difficult for a woman to terminate a pregnancy. And I see you have also had a rather, there seems to be a conservative movement within your country too, not to do with abortion perhaps, but to do with the definition of marriage. And I don't know if that's connected or not, whether there's a little wave of social conservatism also spreading through other parts of Europe, including Poland.
I think that's right. It is a pattern. It is the wave, and as we saw it in the United States with Donald Trump, and also in many European countries, indeed in Poland and also in Hungary, this conservative or ultra conservative, even at times far right movement, has is spreading its wings again across Europe. It has happened for the past 5 years, and indeed one party in Estonia, it is called Estonian Conservative People's Party, has used this wave for their own advantage, and they are basically importing a lot of those ideas from Poland, from the United States, Hungary, to here. Indeed, they are now proposing to hold a referendum on the definition of a marriage. So they want to set it in the Estonian constitution.
Is that the Estonian Conservative People's Party or the entire government? Because I think we've spoken about it before, about how this relatively right-wing party is part of the government, and the Interior Minister, who's a member of that party, was the one who was speaking out about gays. But they actually, is the government as a whole saying, right, we're going to have a referendum on the defining marriage?
Indeed, they are in the government. They are the second largest party in the government. They are not a prime ministerial party. But three parties in the coalition government agreed on certain things in the agreement when they assumed power last year. And indeed, that party, Estonian Conservative People's Party, one of their demands was that they want to hold this referendum. The other two parties in the government, one is supposed to be sort of liberal, but it's kind of populist as well, and one is sort of traditional conservative party. They kind of were hesitant, but now they actually agreed to hold this referendum. So all those parties in the government agreed to hold this referendum in the coming spring, so spring 2021. And of course, the other parties, many members are against it, but this is the agreement they need.
What's the current ruling on marriage? Can men marry men and women marry women in Estonia at the moment?
They cannot marry at the moment. It's because the constitution doesn't say either way. And at the moment, what they can do, gender-neutral couples like another man with another man or a woman with another woman, they can register the partnership. So it's called, it's like a civil partnership law we have. But they cannot marry here in Estonia, no. No party so far in the parliament has actually promised to set this one as a law, as giving gender-neutral couples an opportunity to marry. This shows how behind Estonia is in terms of some of the social attitudes.
And this referendum, would, if it went ahead, if it was carried by the populace, this would enshrine what male-female marriage is the only marriage possible under the constitution of Estonia.
Exactly. So it would be yes or no question. We don't know the exact question yet, but this is exactly what the ultra-conservative party wants to do here.
So that interior minister, what's his name or her name?
It's he. It's his name is Mart Helme.
And he said to Deutsche Welle, the German radio station, television station, he said, "Let our gays run to Sweden." And how many people, what kind of reaction did that get from Estonians?
The reaction was I mean, there was a huge reaction by not just by of course all the civil activists, you know, but also a lot of cultural figures expressed their concern and you know, obviously a lot of people were very angry, but also all the opposition parties of course called the minister to resign, and actually even his own coalition partners, including the prime minister, denounced, you know, those words, because clearly our constitution also says that everyone is equal, yeah, you know, regardless of their sexual background or skin color, etc. So, you know, there was a huge uproar, and of course many people expected him to resign. He didn't either. He did not resign. He did not even apologize, as you would expect in a democratic country. And this is what really makes a lot of people concerned, because again, compared to Poland and Hungary, it looks like a pattern. So that, you know, one party is pulling Estonia to a very conservative, ultra-conservative direction now. And even though it's not a prime minister party, they seem to be successful of imposing that agenda to other coalition partners. And the civil society is very, very concerned here. I mean, a lot of organizations, and I'm not talking only about LGBT organizations, but, like, you know, on a wider scale, because it is a question of what direction Estonia is taking. You know, is it the Nordic country, like Scandinavia, our neighbor, northern neighbors, that are all known to be very tolerant countries, and where you know, gay marriages have been legalized for many years, like in Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland. But you know, that party wants to take Estonia to a different direction, and that seems to be the direction of Poland, or even like Russia again, you know, so the eastern traditions, you know, ultra conservative, but they call traditional, of course, you know, they call, they want to promote this sort of old model of you know, marriage between a woman and a man.
Now, Silver, I want to ask. Sorry, you wanted to finish something.
It's okay. Yeah.
Because I wanted to ask you about something else, which you put in your notes, and this is a really horrible disaster that happened in 1994, and I remember this. I was living in Britain at the time when a ferry heading across the Baltic, the MS Estonia. It sank very quickly. It was at about this time of the year, it was late September, and 852 people died. I always thought, and I think the official report said, that the ship sank quickly because the bow door opened, failed under the strain of waves, and a lot of water came, and it capsized, and down it went. But now there's a new documentary from a Swedish TV channel that suggests that there was a big hole in the hull, and no one had talked about this before. This must be upsetting and concerning a lot of people.
It is concerning a lot of people. As you already described, that's the official report said that, you know, the locks on the ferry doors, bow door, failed, and that's why, you know, the ship sank. But the member, the families and the representatives of the families of the victims have for long advocated for better investigation, because so many questions have always been left open. Why the ship sank so quickly? Because similar ferries usually don't sink as quickly. They capsize, but because of the construction, because of the car tech, they don't usually sink so quickly. There's also a lot of the, you know, survivors, about 150 people survived that. A lot of the survivors describe loud bangs before this ship started sinking, and so many questions. And now very professional Swedish journalist made this documentary that indeed premiered on a Swedish television channel. They actually dived, they used a professional diving company, I think it was a Norwegian company, to dive to the ship, to the ferry, to the wreck, and they discovered a large hole. For many years, you know, actually there'd been speculation that there could be some hole in it, but it wasn't confirmed, it was not described in the official disaster report. And now it is causing again an upset and uproar. And again, those families of the victims, they are demanding a new investigation.
We've only got a minute left, Silver, but is there any idea what might have created that hole?
There are many theories. Some experts say that it's simply because of the seabed. You know, when the ship sank, then there are some large rocks that could have caused it. But there are others who are saying that it is caused by a foreign object. They even say that it could have been a submarine. You know, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but this is one of the theories. But this is exactly why a new investigation is demanded by many people and many experts, you know, to make sure to find a reason for that hole.
Silver, thank you so much for joining us again. Enjoy the autumn and the coming winter. Hopefully the pandemic stays away from you, mostly.
Thank you, and same to New Zealand, all the people there. Thank you.